KPCW News Time now, 8:12. Good morning. Well, the Summit County Council meeting tomorrow at the County Courthouse in Colville, starting at 3:30 in the studio. With the preview is Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So first off, the council decided to postpone one item from a very crowded agenda. Chapter 3 of the East County Code will be heard next week instead.
That's correct. It'll be heard on the 20th, probably starting around 4 p.m. In work session and then open to public hearing after 6 p.m.
Okay. Is that the sole item on
the
agenda?
That is the sole item on the agenda, and we're trying to keep it that way.
All right. Again, just a public hearing, no decision scheduled?
I think it's going to be agended as if with the ordinance available. However, I would expect, given the number of topics around it that still need to be discussed and introduced, that there will not be a decision. That doesn't mean there won't be, but so stay tuned. But there is still a lot to decide.
Yeah, just given it's so busy this time of year, is that kind of a?
Well, it is. I mean, we were expecting when we first had this agendaed with everything for tomorrow, we could be there till say 10 or 11 o'clock in the evening, and you know that's not exactly fair to everybody, especially the public, but also the council, because we want to make sure that each of these items gets proper scrutiny. When we go that late at night, sometimes it's not as fun or not as specific. And so, we want to make sure that that everything gets the right amount of scrutiny.
All right. Let's see. Wednesday's formal session starting at 3:30. During the public hearing on the Canyons Resort amended master plan, the staff highlighted three issues. One on sustainability. Councilmember Glenn Wright asked TCFC to commit to 100% renewable energy for the HVAC in the new buildings. Their reply was, well, they'll advise future developers and purchasers of the county's resolution, and would certainly encourage them to follow it, but it's only voluntary, right?
Yeah, there's at the advice of our attorney's office, there's some limits of what we can require within a development agreement. Anybody can volunteer to do whatever they want to do, but we cannot necessarily require them to do that. So it's a delicate balance of how do we achieve our goals and get some language within the development agreement that encourages that, but doesn't violate the law, according to our attorney's office. So both Councilman Wright, Councilman Clyde, and the developers have been working on that since then in order to get some the right language in there.
Okay, be interesting to see how it comes out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Second issue, the methodology to measure the requirement to reduce traffic, 27% by build-out of the resort. In the staff report, to put it simply, they say that they'll take the anticipated traffic impacts of the canyons and measure the current traffic count. The difference will be defined as the reduction. So does that sound right?
Well, I'm not exactly clear on the exact details of that because it is rather intricate. But what I do understand in reading the packet last night is that they're going to take a period of time between now and May of this year, of this next year, in order to really neck down on defining what that 27% means. Now, as you'll remember in the development agreement also, we have an annual look at traffic through a report that they're supposed to provide, and then we discuss that amongst staff and decide how things are going. I think we're going to look at that May date as the definition time, and then that annual look in order to decide whether things need to change and what they're providing to mitigate traffic impacts. And certainly there will be triggers along with different percentages of development as well.
That's pretty ambitious, given that they're adding, you know, thousands of units.
Well, I think their traffic study that they provided, and they're actually going to be putting in a lot of things to mitigate traffic in the meantime. So we got to see how that works along the way. I mean, it's certainly it's great to say that and make a decision in 2017 or 2018 of what exactly needs to be done to mitigate all the traffic impacts based on our information at that time. But until we see it happen, sometimes we're going to have to make adjustments along the way.
Right. And if we don't achieve that 20% by build out of the resort, I mean, we can't take it back. So
well,
what happens?
That's true. We can't take back the entitlement. But what we do have the power to do, which is what we've done in the past, is hold up building permits. We have a method to force a discussion and force mitigation that may not be decided on right now.
Let's see. Third is the easement issue on Red Pine Road. Has this been worked out?
Well, again, the attorney's office and the planning department put together some information for the council that seems to indicate that access is available off of Red Pine Road. So the council will have to look at that in their deliberations this week.
All right. The council will also consider two resolutions on a voluntary assessment area. Why two resolutions?
Well, that's definitely a question for the attorney's office, not me. They've been working very hard on this for the past 6 months with our bond counsel in order to do that. My guess is that it has to do, and of course I love to guess on the radio, my guess it has to do with the legal requirements around a self-assessment area.
And how much are we talking about being financed?
It's around $23 million, as I recall, and it includes mitigation, traffic mitigation in the forms of remote parking and the build-out of a certain road. And then it also includes the purchase of the LV6 parcel for their workforce housing component.
Let's talk a little bit about that, the list of projects. I mean, we have more than $20 million just for traffic issues. I mean, the $5 million for the off-site park and ride improvements. We're talking like, what, the Ecker Hill park and ride?
That's one of the places that it could be done, and it could also be we also own the Klein Dolly parcel, which is eligible. You know, I think we need to really look at what the best place for that is, and the way that we've come up with a remote parking agreement between ourselves and the CVMA as a requirement of this assessment area is that we're going to develop that slowly. Certainly we have transit available to certain spots in the county right now, and we don't necessarily have the funds to extend transit beyond that right now, but the Ecker parcel is eligible, and it is a place that we could stage in some remote parking and make sure that our method works before we just go out there and build, say, 500 spaces for someone.
And again, to access at Ecker Hill Park and Ride, we're still talking about coming off at the Pinebrook Jeremy interchange.
Yeah, it would have to access that and off of Kilby Road. We're not allowed to access it off of the highway itself. It's just not within the rules of FHWA and UDOT in order to do that.
But we do have an exit there.
There is an exit there, and we would also be within that parcel of land. We would be maintaining some chain up area and rest area for trucks as well. That would be accessed off of the highway, but any parking for that we would build would not be accessed from the highway.
Hmm. It just seems like it's there. It seems like that's a simple way.
It seems like a great solution, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Okay. Let's see. Another major project with that voluntary assessment area, we're providing about $14.5 million. Again, the county buying this LV6 parcel that you mentioned from IHC and then leasing it to the CVMA for that 1,100 pillow employee housing?
That's correct. So under a self-assessment area bond, that's public. I mean, it's a public bond. Of course, everything within that bond has to be publicly owned. So the idea is that the parcel would be initially purchased by the county under this bond, the backing of the bond being a self-assessment of the properties within the canyons or that TCFC owns within the canyons. And then after a period of time, and I think it says 20 years, that it would be then given back It would be leased over that period of time and then given back to the CVMA to manage that housing and that parcel. That's at least the way it's written up within the assessment area right now. We'll see how that goes.
All right. You're just leasing the property. You have nothing to do with managing the
employee
housing.
In fact, none of the assets, except for the remote parking, we will have nothing to do with as far as long-term maintenance or recapitalization of that. That will all be the obligation of the CVMA.
All right. And the county came across this parcel how?
Well, it's actually a concept that the TCFC brought to the council in order to achieve the short-term build of those 1,107 beds of workforce housing.
All right. Now, is that workforce housing reserved for Canyon's employees only?
I think the concept is, and I don't remember the exact language in that. We're trying to achieve traffic mitigation largely through and achieve some of our affordable housing goals through the build of this workforce housing. So the primary purpose is to take care of employees that work on the mountain. It might not be specifically Canyon's employees, but I mean, Canyon's is kind of a general term for that area. So yeah, that's the idea.
All right. And then this is followed by a work session just after at 5 p.m. The purpose is what?
Well, the purpose that in order to do a self-assessment area like this, we have our bond council has to engage a study to understand the public benefit. So they will be going over that study between the 5 and 6 o'clock hour. And that's required, and it's also required that be out for a public comment period for a period of time, as well as some pieces of the assessment area be out for a public comment period. So if the council adopts things on tomorrow related to the assessment area, those time frames will start.
So there were two more items on this at the tail end of the 6 o'clock agenda. Why did those get put there?
Because they have to be on there for a public hearing. When we do most of our public hearings, especially new public hearings after 6 p.m., and the way that the agenda was designed, we wanted to have the budget and the truth and taxation public hearings first, right at the 6 o'clock hour.
All right. So in right now, do we have enough properties agree that the voluntary assessment area can be set up?
Well, they're all properties that are under control of TCFC, so yes, we have agreement.
Okay. And the 6 o'clock agenda, as you mentioned, a public hearing first on the fees that we talked about last week, grandma, copies, use of the fairgrounds building, increased tipping fees.
Yes, and so this is the normal process. It was introduced last week. We'll do a public hearing this week on that, and it will be considered for adoption right before the budget.
All right. And then again, a final public hearing on the proposed tax increase for the 2018 budget.
That's correct. It will follow the same format that we did last week at the Richens Building. Matt Levitt will give a presentation about the budget and the proposed tax increases. And then the council will take public comment.
All right. What was your reaction to last week's hearing? It sounded like we had a little bit of support.
I think Council Member Clyde described it pretty well. Going into a year like this, it's certainly not anybody's desire that we raise taxes. I'm a property owner within the county too, so it affects me as well. Listening to the comments last week, there's certainly people that have an opinion that we should be looking deeper into the county budget for savings in order to cover the services that we're required to cover. And then there are folks that look at the strategic plan and the goals that the community has put forward through the council and say, we need to work on those. So I think there was a pretty balanced set of comments last week about that.
Do you think you're going to hear the same, though, this week?
Well, I mean, certainly we're used to seeing differences of opinion based on whether we're in the Snyderville Basin or on the east side of the county. I would expect to notice some of that during the hearing. But, you know, again, it was balanced on the Snyderville Basin side as well.
Okay. Finally, just wanted to ask you about the Oscarthorpe Branch, get an update there. I know that there was a meeting scheduled last week.
There was, and we had continued substantive conversations about the things that the county council is projecting as things that need to be part of that deal if they're going to participate. We had a few more people involved. Some of the Summit Lands board members were involved in that meeting. And so it's just bringing a lot more understanding to more people of how we're talking about this. So the good news is we're continuing to talk.
Still, even with the county's contribution, the $4.5 million, I think, that we're talking about.
Well, that's what was originally asked. It could be that amount of money. It could be some other amount of money. It kind of depends on what ends up being part of that complete deal.
Right. But even with whatever the county puts in, I mean, the Summit Land Conservancy was still about $5.5 million short. They've raised over $700,000. I mean, is this even a likelihood?
Well, I think from what the Summit Lands folks have told us, they're doing they're very aggressive. There's a lot of public support around and shown by some of the donations that have been made. So that's encouraging, and I think that's certainly part of the overall calculus of everyone that's talking right now.
Okay, so we'll see you next week to talk Chapter 3.
You will not see me next week because I'm going to be on vacation. So
okay.
There'll be somebody in to talk about Chapter 3.
But that will be the final meeting of the year?
That'll be the final meeting of the year.
Okay, happy holidays, Tom.
You too. Thank you very much.
It's 8:29. Good morning. Well, the Park City Planning Commission meeting tomorrow in regular session starting at 5:30 at the City Council Chambers of the Marsac Building. In the studio to give us a rundown of the agenda, Planning Director Bruce Erickson. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Two items before the Treasure Hill item at tomorrow's meeting. The first one, the Central Park condominium plat. The city has entered into a contract to purchase the condos. Does that complicate anything here?
Other than it's just normal city process, we're going to deliver 11 deed-restricted units for sale when this project is complete. They need to finish up the construction, and then we'll be able to deliver the units. But this is just another step in order for us to sell the units.
All right. And again, these are all deed-restricted, huh?
All deed-restricted. Yep. Jason Glidden and Ann Laurent and Rhoda Stoffer have been working hard on the documents, trying to make sure that all the lessons learned from the previous ones are brought forward for this one.
All right. And they've all been spoken for. It was part of the lottery, right?
Yes.
These are the ones along the rail trail.
These are the ones by the rail trail.
Second item is the Golden Hirsch condominium plat, now under construction. We've got 39 units here. Again, same thing?
Same thing, just basic processing at this point. They're fully in compliance with all the issues. They're working on their condo plat, and they're under construction.
Okay, well, let's turn to Treasure.
Yeah.
Staff recommending a review of the information and continuing to a future date. I guess I was thinking we were going to have a decision, though.
We might very well have a decision. We're going to ask the public to kind of trust the mayor on this one. I know it's a bit of a tough situation. We've been at this 40 years. But the mayor is having a conversation like they talked about last week, and they're trying to bring some resolution to this situation, just like we've done over the past years. I mean, we had a big fight out at Park City Heights. We had a big fight with the film studio. We had a fight with the hospital. You know, Deer Valley, even back in the 80s, reduced the total number of units available. So, you know, I don't hear very much. There's a pretty solid wall between me and the negotiating team. However, I'm comfortable with what Jack does and says, and I believe in him and Andy and Mark and Ann. So we'll know hopefully tomorrow what's going to happen.
So they'll either come back and say, well, I guess there's a couple of things they could say. We've reached an agreement.
Yeah.
We have not reached an agreement, or we need more time. And I think what we heard from Adam Strawn was, no, you don't get any more time.
And I think that's right. I mean, there's three or four things that could happen. The Planning Commission could direct staff to prepare findings of fact and conclusions and conditions for denial. They could direct staff to come back and tell us to put conditions for approval together. Either way it goes, even if they make a decision tomorrow night, we still have to do all the paperwork, and they still need to ratify those findings, because at this point there are no findings of fact, conclusions of law that are necessary for them to take a formal final action.
Oh, I thought you were working on those.
We have been working on responding to the applicants' reports to us and our staff reports and responding to commissioners' comments. We have some potential conditions that we would bring forward, especially in traffic and transportation and construction. My personal list is somewhere around 100. But normally what happens is we go into a negotiation process with the applicant before we bring them back to the Planning Commission and say, here's what we're thinking. If you guys don't like it, you better tell us now, because when it gets in front of the Planning Commission, they're going to pick them up one side and take them apart and put them back down the way they want them. And it just kind of delays the process. And we're kind of, we haven't gotten to that step with Treasure yet where we're doing over-the-table negotiations for the conditions of approval under the current 17.2 submittal. So, you know, there's some processing things that we need the public to understand as we move forward.
So can you play out the schedule then for me?
No.
I mean, assuming that there is no deal.
Okay, let's assume there is no deal. I would expect the Planning Commission, based on their comments last night, to say, planning staff, go back to your office, prepare conditions of approval or conditions of denial, and be ready at the next meeting so we can ratify. The next available meeting is the 20th of December, which we have noticed, but there's nothing on that agenda. And then it would be the first meeting in January when we'd be ready again.
So you wouldn't do anything on the 27th then?
Not as far as I know right now. We need a quorum. We need to make sure people are in town. We need to make sure the public's available, the applicant. So I doubt very seriously 2 days after Christmas whether we'd be ready to go.
And I guess the reason I ask it is that if it was extended that long, I mean, Adam Strawn has said he's done by the 31st.
Right, and, you know, we understand that. And we also have the election of vice chair on this meeting coming up on the 13th because Steve Joyce is ramping up to become a city council person. So if Adam does go off, we need to at least make sure we have a vice chair in place and ready to go as we move this thing forward.
So do we know who this third party is that the city has brought together with the applicant?
I do not. I'm sure somebody does, but I don't.
And I don't know you can address this either. You're not the city attorney. But legally, how can the city council be negotiating with the applicant again? I mean, has the...
I don't think the city council is negotiating. I think the mayor and the city attorney are doing the negotiation. And since they would do an appeal, if there was an appeal, they have an independent appeal body, but they can reopen these negotiations at any time because they broke them off as the city council. So, but right now it's just the mayor and the city attorney and community development director that are having the discussions.
All right. So Andy Bierman's not part of
that. I'm sorry, the new mayor as well.
Who is a city council member?
Yes.
So, again, legally, how can the city council...
Well, I guess you'd have to address that more clearly with the city attorney's office. But as far as I'm concerned, the negotiations ended. They can reopen the negotiations because they're not hearing an appeal. This is just a strictly real estate transaction deal.
And I guess that was my question, because originally we had a letter of intent that allowed this negotiation to happen.
Right.
So that never expired? Or, I mean, are we just that's continued or...
You know, I'd have to check the record on that one. I'm sure that everybody's comfortable with the legal framework on this one. And I'm probably the least one to know about this stuff. You know, they're going to our mission in the planning department is to move this thing forward. I did get some direction from the city attorney earlier that anything I say on the radio cannot interfere with Rick Bruff's review of the Star Wars movie. So I won't do anything like that. But that's the direction from the city attorney.
Have you had any communication from the applicant this past week?
I have not.
Okay. And I'm not sure if it was 1 or 2 weeks ago, but Old Town resident John Staffschult made a PowerPoint presentation basically showing how the six parcels that make up Treasure, about 63 acres, I think that's about right, have been assessed by Summit County. And then what the family's actually been paying taxes on. It was something like in the last 30 years, some $38,000 in property taxes had been paid. And given that the city only collects about 30% of that, I mean, we're talking about really not a whole lot of money coming into the city based on this assessed valuation for Treasure.
And, you know, we saw that analysis. We took a look at it. I'm not a real estate appraiser, but as far as I can see, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. When you're comparing a developed property with a home or a building on it at some valuation versus raw ground, some of which is zoned as open space with a real low valuation on it, it's also fairly steep. So assessing a flat lot valuation versus a large unsubdivided lot valuation is completely different. So while we appreciate the work and understand the concern and trying to make the public aware of the values involved in this property, it needs to get down to an apples-to-apples comparison. It is also not one of the criteria inside the conditional use permit that we're dealing with. I mean, it has to do with the project. It reflects some fairly sophisticated public concerns, but we have to stick to the 15 conditional use permit criteria.
I guess I just, if the county's got it valued at one price, right, and we're at one point had heard from the Sweeneys that the property was worth $100 million. I mean,
right.
Based on the county's tax assessment, this property is worth about $500,000.
Well, once again, remember that any sale valuation is going to be on the potential for unit equivalence and development rights, and the county doesn't assess on development rights. They assess on undeveloped property and sometimes base zoning. So the development rights are a completely fungible asset independent of the real estate value.
When you think about just the amount of work that's gone in, I mean, thinking that we've pulled, you know, $20,000, $15,000 maybe from property taxes, and you think we've just $100,000 have been paid to Special Counsel Jody Burnett, and all of the time and staff and the Planning Commission on this project, boy, I mean, it's been a very expensive development.
It's been a big number, and I you know, it's a big number. I know how many staff hours and how many FTEs I've put in and my team has put in, and Pat Putt's team and Kayla Sins's team and the predecessors, and Kirsten Whetstone when she wrote the staff report all the way back to Jim Carter in 1985. There's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of hours and dollars involved. But what doesn't get represented in there is, remember, we had a big fight over the Town Lift Plaza. That got approved. We had a big fight over the town bridge. That got approved. Those are driving revenues, and those are assessed as commercial property. So they're paying taxes on other components of their project. The six houses on the hillside are paying taxes as well. So it's not exactly apples to apples. I am very proud of how much time my people have put on this thing. I'm proud of the public. I'm proud of the applicant. We used to get really contentious in these big public meetings, and yeah, we scream at each other a little bit, but nothing like the end of the world discussions when Deer Valley was coming on board or the Kmart was coming on board.
Empire Pass, yeah.
Yeah, Empire Pass, the world was going to end again. So I have a great deal of faith in the mayor and the mayor-elect, and we're just going to have to see how this goes.
Again, the meeting's going to be at Jim Santee Auditorium still, right?
Meetings at Jim Santee starting at 5:30. We'll elect a vice chair. We'll do our quick two agendas. Also want to let everybody know that the King's Crown project is on for a work session as well at the request of the applicant. The staff did not prepare a staff report. The applicant put his letter into the file, so I think you need to read it. Planning Commission had some pretty serious concerns about ski run grading and moving the excess fill material up onto the mountain. It looks to me like they've resolved that now. So the King's Crown project probably will go forward in January.
All right. Anything else you want to mention?
No, thank you. I appreciate everybody's time. We are going out for some new planning commissioners. If anybody wants to come and play, we have 5 seats available. 2 are open for sure because Steve Joyce is going off and Adam Strong has told us he's going off. The rest of the folks may choose to be reappointed. If not, we'll fill their seat as well. So the applications are ready at the city. We'll make a selection after the new city council person is sworn in January. So I'll be ready to go in February. And it is a lot of fun. And you get to yell at people in the grocery store.
Okay, Bruce, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Leslie.
Well, the Park City Mark, once again, offering its free lunch and learn tomorrow, noon to 1 p.m. in the studio with details. On December's topic, I have Cole Johnson with the Mark, along with this month's guest, Tippi Moreland. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks. So, Cole, I'll let you just kind of introduce Tippi and tell us when and where.
Yeah, so we have Tippi Moreland coming back. She actually works for the city as well in the planning department. She was here during our wellness week in October, and totally blew us away with her presentation. She had some really good stuff. So we're inviting her back. She's coming back to kind of expand upon some of the points she made in that previous presentation and kind of build on that. So we're happy to have her back.
All right. Tippi, you love to travel on your free time, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
And you've kind of figured out how to do it.
Yeah. So traveling on the cheap has become my hobby over the last few years. I love finding cheap flights in addition to using points and miles. So this time I'll be talking a little bit more about the different types of points and miles, how to collect them, how to use them, and then how to responsibly and effectively look at credit cards, because that's a big topic and a question I get asked quite a bit.
Yeah. How did you how many credit cards do you have? Because it's, you only want a few, don't you?
Yes. But I kind of got really into it. So I think I have about 10 points and miles credit cards. I don't use them regularly, but that's part of, you know, being able to responsibly and effectively manage your credit and which cards you use to spend on what and to know how much you can spend. I'm going to be talking a little bit about the tips and tricks to figuring out whether or not it's a good option for you.
Yeah. Do you pay any fees on those credit cards?
Some of them have fees and some don't. So the ones that I keep long-term don't have fees. And some of them have small fees and give you rewards like a free hotel night each year. And those are worth keeping. And some of them you just want to get for the points and then cancel after a year.
Well, something I remember, because I sat through your October presentation and you had talked about in terms of spending, how much you want to spend per day, right? And you had this crazy story that you flew to like Dubai for a day, for 3 days?
Yeah. It was 177 round trip. So my budget is $100 per day on the flight. So if I can only go for 3 days, if the flight's $300 or less, I'll go. So it was 3 days in Dubai for 177. So I just went for 3 days since I don't have a lot of vacation time.
But again, you spent a day there and a day getting back. So you were there for like 24 hours?
Well, I included the travel time. So I was there for 3 days. Yeah. And then it was a long weekend, so I didn't really have to take time off work. So 5 days total-ish.
Oh, okay. And so in terms of where you go, I mean, you just go to one place instead of going to India, huh?
Yeah. So when I find a deal, because of my limited time off, I'll pick one city and I try to spend time there, which makes it worth it to do shorter trips, 3 or 4 days. If I do have a longer trip planned, then I'll try to hit more cities. I did India for 3 days as well, because that flight was also a cheap one. It was $289 round trip. And I booked a driver, though, because it was impossible to do everything I wanted to do. So I paid extra to have a driver take me to from Delhi to Jaipur and Agra and back. So was tough.
One of the best things you've told me about, and because I'll fly JetBlue a lot, but it was just about, they've got kind of that shopping portal with Amazon, which is, I had never even heard of it. So
yeah, one of the best ways to earn miles is if you're shopping online already, all you have to do is go to whatever mileage program you're enrolled in, go to their shopping portal first and click a button. So it's a purchase you're going to make already. And if you go to the shopping portal first, you can earn points for every dollar that you spend, that you were going to spend already. So JetBlue has 3 points per dollar you spend on Amazon. So if you add stuff to your cart, all you have to do is go to the JetBlue portal for Amazon, and then you'll earn miles for that as well.
And who does Southwest hook up with? Just lots of different vendors?
Yeah, so JetBlue's unique in that it's the only airline that works with Amazon. So that's one of the only people that you can earn points with on JetBlue, but everyone else mostly has pretty much every vendor, like Macy's.com, Express, like anything you can think of is pretty much on all the shopping portals.
Yeah. And when you see some of the fees, the annual fees, I mean, they're charging you $50, $60 a year. It just seems to me over time you could save that much money and have a lot more than you could you could buy your airfare.
Right. Well, so that's the point with looking at the credit cards and their offers to see if the mileage that you're earning is worth it. But a lot of times, if they do charge a fee, I would just get it for the bonus and cancel it after a year. So you still get the benefit, but you don't have to pay the fee. But some cards, very few, have those annual benefits that you want to look at to see if it is worth it. Some even have travel credits that they'll put on your account every year. Like there's some American Express cards that'll give you like $300 in travel, but their annual fee is also $300. So you have to decide if that's worth it for you. And I'll talk about that on Wednesday.
So what's your credit rating? Is it good?
I think so. So actually, having credit and using it responsibly can actually boost your credit score. So I've been able to look at these points and miles blogs that I follow and figure out ways to do that. And it's actually boosted my score. For being someone in my 20s, it takes a long time to build credit. But I feel like this has actually helped me to get a higher credit score faster with the length of credit history and that sort of thing.
Okay. So what's the $170 to Dubai was probably the best flight ever.
Yeah, that one.
Tell
and
me
also
about some of the good ones that you found.
Yeah. Last Thanksgiving, I flew. So it wasn't out of Salt Lake, but it was LA to New Zealand. That was 220 round trip. And that one, New Zealand and Australia are rarely on sale. And then on top of that, someone on my flight had a stroke. So we landed in Tahiti for a night, and the airline basically gave me $300 in credit back. So that ended up being a really, really good deal for me. Let's see, this year, I think 7 or 8 times now, I've seen Salt Lake City to Europe for $400 round trip. So that's one that I've been seeing a lot, especially with the discount airlines flying to Europe. I don't think those will go away. So if you keep an eye on that, then that's a doable fare.
And that's kind of like the April and October dates, or?
You know, that's what I'd seen it once a year as before for the deals. But this year it's been every 2 or 3 months and for maybe 2 or 3 months out. So I got that fare for the summer. Actually, this year I went to Greece in, you know, early June, and that was 400 round trip from Salt Lake.
Wow. Again, a lot of information in an hour, but you'll be there tomorrow again at the PC Mark 12 to 1.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Tippi, thanks. KPCW News Time now, 8:55. Well, coming up tomorrow, the annual Park City Chamber Bureau Winter Expo. In the studio to tell us more about that, I have from the Chamber Bureau, Ryan Cray, along with the new Vice President of Membership, Nancy Gray. Good morning to both of you.
Hi, Leslie. Thank you for having us.
Okay, Ryan, do you want to start with us and just give us the details?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have our annual expo. This is a way for our members who provide winter activities to kind of get themselves out there. We invite all of the concierge and frontline service industry people to come so they have a good idea of what's happening this winter. And it's also open to the community. So it's a great way for people to kind of come, kick off the winter. We have free food, cash bar, DJ. So it's just a really fun time.
Okay. And you don't have to be a member, Nancy?
No, you don't. We welcome everyone in the community to come out and be there with us.
Okay. How many people are you going to have there in terms of booth setup?
So we have 40 vendors that are all set up to go. You know, the typical all seasons, backcountry snowmobiling, ski butlers, black tie ski rentals. And we also have Elizabeth coming from the city, who's going to go over all of the kind of ABCs of parking and transportation happenings going on this winter.
Okay. Deal is just show up. You don't need
to. No RSVP required. Everybody is welcome. It's tomorrow night, 4 to 7 at the Doubletree.
Okay. So, Nancy, in terms of you just had this, you started what, last month or so?
Yeah, that's correct. About 3 weeks ago, I sure did.
Yeah. My understanding is that we've seen some of the membership numbers drop off. So is that kind of your marching orders, is to bring those numbers back up?
Well, we always focus on getting more members, and we really want to be involved in the community and help make sure our businesses succeed. So that's always been our main focus and will continue to be.
Yeah. In terms of the membership, there's just an annual fee that people pay?
Uh-huh. Yep. There's an annual dues structure. So it varies based on the type of business, and the investment can be a little bit different depending on what the business is.
Yeah. And why is that a good thing for a business to be?
Oh, my goodness. We do so much for our local community. They have lots and lots of benefits. So we would encourage everyone to check out our website at visitparkcity.com. And there's a member section there, which explains some of the benefits. And then, of course, they can always reach out to either myself or Ryan at any time. We'd be happy to go over the benefits with them and what they get.
For sure. Yeah, each individual member kind of has their own set of benefits, too. So we like to kind of personalize that when we first meet with them.
Okay. Anything else?
No. Also, cash bar, but there's also raffles throughout and prizes. A lot of swag giveaways. So definitely come out.
Okay. Hey, free food will get you out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Hey, Ryan and Nancy, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Leslie.